Well, I hope everybody's doing okay through Hurricane Hanna up and down the East Coast. Ike is on his way. It appears that Hurricane Ike is headed to the same area in the Gulf Coast where we just saw Hurricane Gustav leave. By the way, we checked in with everybody that we spoke with last week when we kept a line open on the international line for people who had stayed behind for the hurricane, and everybody was fine. So good news there, although the flooding was a problem for a lot of people, and the season is not over yet. You know, I also said that I would check back in this week on events from the Republican National Convention as they were transpiring here in St. Paul, where I live. And it was really interesting to see all of these famous journalists and, you know, politicians and in many cases world leaders gathered for the Republican National Convention in the same, you know, streets where we hang out all the time. You look up and it's like, oh, that's, and then you look over there, you go, oh, hey, look, there's, that was going on for four or five days. Best part was the Daily Show, though, for me. I got to go to a taping of the Daily Show, and I'll tell you more about that. Plus, dirty dancing our way through the fluidity of time, the potential for solar power, and a powerful new archaeological find, all coming up when we do crypto news and then open lines next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Well, the open lines are open. So if you know the numbers, you're welcome to call them. If you don't, you can go to the website at coasttocoastam.com. We'll also roll all the numbers to you at the bottom of the hour. And we'll do open lines until the top of the hour when we'll pick up the conversation that we started with Mark Lerner back in January. You might remember Mark Lerner. He was one of the many people that we had on making predictions for 2008. Mark Lerner's particular specialty is the astrological chart of things and people as they relate to news events. So we'll first go over where Mark was on some of the predictions he had made, and then secondly we'll start with where we are right now. We got roughly 58 days or something like that till the election, so we'll ask Mark to take a look at the astrological charts of McCain and Palin, Obama and Biden, of the Democrats, of the Republicans, of the country, and about a dozen other things, and see what the next 60 days will bring us according to the stars. And we'll do that on the way in just a minute, because I say, first, greetings from St. Paul, Minnesota, the site of the most watched, most discussed, most celebrated Republican National Convention ever. It was pretty cool to watch all the attention on this town. I'm proud of my half of the Twin Cities and our unofficial slogan, St. Paul. The other one is the evil twin. I was glad to see that we had great weather and no real problems to speak of. At the same time, St. Paul was the temporary home for thousands of peaceful local and out-of-state anti-Republican National Convention protesters, and a sticky handful of anarchists who clearly came here just to throw feces and bags of urine and bricks and generally make their mothers proud. I walked in the poverty march on Tuesday night, and I witnessed firsthand that most protesters were not happy about the anarchists that were in our midst. They were often rude and obscene to the cops and made every effort to seem exotic and out of control. Wednesday night, I went to an exclusive hot ticket Republican after hours party that a friend of mine snuck me some tickets to. And I got to see and rub elbows with the very rich and the slightly famous. So I got to see both sides of this week up close. No big stories to report from that private party, however. The Republicans were never rude or obscene to the cops, although the appetizers were exotic and out of control. The Daily Show was out of control, too. That was great. I got tickets for the taping in St. Paul on Thursday with guest Newt Gingrich. It was so cool to have Jon Stewart here. One little insight, if you watch The Daily Show and you watched Thursday night, you know that like every night during the Republican convention, they were pretty harsh. It was funny, very funny, but they were pretty harsh. And we were all laughing very hard. But they shot the sequence is out of order. So Newt Gingrich was the guest, but they only shot one of the Daily Show sequences before Newt Gingrich came out. They didn't do it in the order that it appeared on the air. And I can only suspect that the reason why they shot him out of order was because the first segment was so brutal to Republican delegates that I thought Newt Gingrich would have walked. If they had done that segment before he came out, he would never, I don't think he ever would have come out. So I think that's why they shot him out of sequence, but it was very interesting. And it just seemed like the whole week flew by so fast, as if it were happening double time. And according to fizorg.com, the best science site ever, in a story that's linked to our page at coasttocoastam.com, it just may have flown by in double time, that it's possible. That as humans, we have a very intuitive concept of time and the differences between the past, the present, and the future. But as scientist Edward Fang of the University of California, Berkeley, and Gavin Crooks of the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory point out, science does not provide a clear definition of time. Quote, in our everyday lives, we have the sense that time flows inexorably from the past into the future. Water flows downhill. Mountains erode. We are born, grow old, and die. We anticipate the future, but remember the past, the scientists wrote in a recent study. Yet almost all of the fundamental theories of physics, classical mechanics, electrodynamics, quantum mechanics, general relativity, and so on, are symmetric with respect to time reversal. In their study, Fang and Crooks have developed a method to accurately measure time asymmetry. They began by investigating the increase in energy dissipation in various elements, which leads to at least the appearance of the fluidity of the flow of time and the possibility of time reversal. So it's possible for time to flow in reverse. Consider this amazing story. You wonder? At the beginning of 2008, John McCain was booed at the Conservative Political Action Conference, the big annual gathering for right-wing groups, while trying to establish that he was a conservative. A few months later, David Limbaugh wrote, McCain is not only not conservative enough, he also has built a reputation as a maverick by stabbing his party in the back, not in furtherance of conservative principles, but by betraying them. And then just this week, a typical newspaper headline after the Republican National Convention read, Maverick McCain sounds good to GOP conservatives. You see, it's like time flowed backwards. And it's not just in the U.S. The same weird phenomenon is happening in England, where the Sun UK reports 41% of people questioned in an online survey said the 80s was their favorite decade. That makes it more popular than the 60s and the 90s. The Live Aid pop concert was the thing people liked best about the 80s, just ahead of the Rubik's Cube and Pac-Man. Also, the yuppies' favorite accessory, the Filofax, came in fourth in the poll, followed by the films Dirty Dancing and Goonies that were both in fifth place. Now, the very fact that Dirty Dancing and the Goonies rank so high might tell you something about the median age of the poll's respondents. Frankly, I'm not sure I've ever been able to sit through either of those movies from beginning to end. Or maybe I experienced a time reversal in the middle. And if that doesn't make me feel old, I couldn't even remember what a Filofax was. I had to look it up. Anyway, the future is coming faster, it would seem, at least when it comes to technology. The world must speed up the deployment of solar power as it has the potential to meet all of the world's energy needs, the chairman of an industry gathering which wrapped up Friday in Spain said. The solar energy resource is enormous and distributed all over the world in all countries and also oceans, said Daniel Lincott, the chairman of the five-day European Photovoltaic Solar Energy Conference in Valencia. Thus, there is an enormous resource available which can be used everywhere and can, in principle, cover all the world energy demand from a renewable, safe, and clean source. By the way, the conquistadors came from Spain, right? Did you know that the conquistador is also a shoe? If you haven't, then you might not have seen the new ad for Microsoft Windows Vista featuring Jerry Seinfeld and Bill Gates. It's a 2-minute long commercial with Seinfeld and Bill Gates in which Seinfeld helps Gates buy shoes. I watched it this afternoon online. Let's hope the revamped software works better than the ad. By the way, apparently Bill Gates wears a size 10. So I guess that clears him as a suspect in the following story. Out of Cookeville, Tennessee, or as they say there, Cookeville. A retired Cookeville builder has discovered a mysterious set of large footprints on his property. For months, he stepped on a rock near his house that caught his eye. Finally, he brought the unusual rock home and he cleaned it up. And after all the mud was removed, a remarkable discovery was revealed. Quote, I don't know anything about archaeology or anything, but if you look at it, it's a footprint. No animal footprint looks like that. Now, if it's a Native American and Indian, then he was a big Indian, said Jackson. The print is about 11 inches wide and 15 inches long. It's a Bigfoot footprint. Jackson said the fossilized print clearly shows the heel and all five toes. About a half dozen scientists said they want to look at the print, said Dr. Jeffrey, including Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum, a famous Bigfoot professor at Idaho State University and the world's best guest on the subject of Bigfoot on the radio. He was just on with us a couple of weeks ago talking about Bigfoot. He's awesome. I'm curious to see what he would say. Speaking of past guests, it looks like the FDA is investigating many new popular drugs for various problems, a couple of which are well-known or heavily advertised on television, the Associated Press reports. The government on Friday began posting a list of prescription drugs under investigation for potential safety problems in an effort to better inform doctors and patients. The first list is a bare-bones compilation naming 20 medications and the potential issue for each. It provides no indication of how widespread or how serious the problems might be, leading some consumer advocates to question its usefulness and prompting industry worries that skittish patients might stop taking a useful medication if they see it listed. Food and Drug Administration officials say they're trying to walk a fine line in being more open to the public while avoiding needless scares. Congress, in a drug safety bill passed last year, ordered the agency to start posting quarterly listings of medications under investigation. My message to patients is this: don't stop taking your medicine, said Dr. Janet Woodcock, who heads the FDA's Center for Drug Evaluation and Research. If your doctor has prescribed a drug that appears in this list, you should continue taking it unless your doctor advises you differently, said Dr. Woodcock. I'll put the list on my blog. I'll link it up at my blog. We'll go right to the list so you can find it more easily. It lists all of the drugs. By the way, if Dr. Janet Woodcock sounds familiar, it might be because of a report that Dr. Woodcock authored about this time last year. Do you remember? It was about the unintended side effects of certain drugs. But this time last year, the drugs Dr. Woodcock was investigating were, you ready? Remember? Viagra, Levitra, and Cialis. I'm not making that up. The story was about how Dr. Woodcock was reporting how Viagra, Levitra, and Cialis might be causing deafness in some users. I said the story was about how... Oh, never mind. All right, so let's go to open lines and pick it up here. About an hour from now, we'll be talking with Mark Lerner and learning more about where we're going to be about 60 days from now when we get to the election. East of the Rockies, Jeff is in Missouri on Coast to Coast AM. Jeff?
Hey, thanks for taking my call this evening.
Thanks for getting us started for open lines.
Can I give a quick shout-out to the people in the Sorcery IRC?
Yeah. Chat room. Yeah, great. Yeah, love to hear from them.
Yeah, they're Coast to Coast. They got Coast to Coast room in there, and I just wanted to give a shout-out to them real quick.
Glad they're listening. Thank you.
And comments on the recent hurricanes we've been having.
Okay.
I just think it's interesting. We've been having these hurricanes one after another, and the super collider in Europe is getting ready to start up.
Well, tell me how you connect those two things.
Well, it's just interesting timing. I mean, it's been a while since we've had these, like, chains of hurricanes just coming in off the waters. And all this, and then at the same time, we have this biggest machine constructed by man. Well, not biggest machine, but almost the biggest machine set to test the, I guess, micro black hole theory or something like that, from what I understand. Okay. And it's getting ready to start next week, I believe.
So, again, I'm looking at the connection. So the connection here being that we've got these hurricanes because...
Oh, no, I'm just saying it's an interesting coincidence is all.
Okay. All right.
And can I make one comment about the elections, if I can?
Yeah.
Those anarchists really make the legitimate protesters look really bad.
Well, you know, honestly, I think in the eyes of the cops, it was pretty easy to tell who the good protesters were.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm just saying those anarchist nuts really make the legitimate ones look bad. I mean, they really do hurt the case of the people that really do have legitimate gripes.
Yep, I appreciate that. I will tell you that in the midst of the Republican National Convention protests, I mean, I wasn't there for any tear gas throwing or anything, although it happened, I guess, about an hour after I left. The cops had to move in and move a group out. But by and large, you know, it was a lot of access. I think St. Paul did something that the other conventions hadn't done. Other conventions had limited the protesting access to the daytime, and then the conventions would happen at night. But in St. Paul, they let them overlap by about 2 hours. So they would give a parade, a permit at, like, say, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it would wrap up by five. And I don't know. I thought the protesters get an A, and I thought the cops got an A. And fortunately, that won't be, you know, it won't be a smudge on my beloved St. Paul. First time caller line. Derek is in Biloxi, Mississippi. Derek.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Good. Where are you going to take us?
I was going to take you to, I used to live in this house, and it was a shotgun house made back in the 1800s or something like that. But we would see, like, shadow figures walking around through the house.
Cool.
About 7 feet tall, and they would be crouching down by our beds and everything. And we asked our landlord about it, and she, I don't know, she tried to deny it at first, but our neighbors, they used to live in the same house, and they said, oh, they saw the same thing, but they thought they were just going crazy or something, you know? It's like, well, I'm seeing it too, you know? It was really scary, and, like, I wouldn't talk about it, and then my family one day said, have y'all been feeling anything, like, weird in here? And we were like, yeah, have you seen these black shadows walking around? We're all like, yeah, we have, and they're, like, 7 feet tall or 8 feet, and you can see them, like, crouching down by, like, my siblings' beds and my parents' beds, and, yeah, it's weird. You'd hear, like, music coming out of a closet when you opened it up. It was like
a music box.
It was like something like a violin, but it sounded like it could have been coming from a music box. It was like really like in a distance sounding this, and you could hear like people doing rosaries and all kinds of stuff like that.
So when you say you think it was the people who had lived there before, talk to me of the difference between, say, like shadow people and ghosts under this.
Well, it was like the people that lived next door to me, they said that they saw it too when they used to live in the same house, but they moved next door to it. But I don't think they're really ghosts. I think it was like, it could have been evil spirits. I'm not sure, but because I didn't feel any kind of, you know, I didn't feel any, like, I didn't see any human figures. It was just like no faces. I mean, it was just like a human, like dark, like blacker than night shadows. That would just be like, I don't know, walking around, you see like 10 or 20 of them, they'd all be gathering around just like staring, and like that they'd be hovering over the people sleeping in beds, and I was thinking like, it just looked like they were trying to maybe possess, I don't know, I mean that sounds crazy, but you never know, you know, I don't know what they were there for, but...
Well, if the evil spirits were doing the rosary...
that would be weird, maybe it was something trying to fend them off or something, like who knows, you never know.
Well, thank you, Derek. Very interesting.
Thanks for taking my call.
No, thank you. And it just goes to show you when we do open lines that we're never quite sure where you're going to take us. Well, that'll be up to you coming up. We'll give you the numbers next, and or you can go find them online at coasttocoastam.com, which is I just put the blog up for this week. I put up crypto news because I put it up early because we actually mentioned a couple of links in the story. So I put the the link to the drug story. I put the link to the story about the new commercial with Bill Gates and Jerry Seinfeld. And I put the link in for what a Philofax was. If you, like me, had forgotten what a Philofax was. It's one of the favorite items from the 80s. I hadn't even heard the word Philofax probably since 1989. So I put all those things up on the blog. If you go to coasttocoastam.com, you can click on there and take it. And then we'll find out where you'll take us next on Coast to Coast AM. Open lines before Mark Lerner makes astrological predictions about our next 60 days and the national elections on Coast to Coast AM. All right, as we head into open lines between now and the top of the hour, I just want to give a shout out to Lee and Andy and Sheila, amongst others, that posted responses to a blog from earlier in the week, Coast to Coasties all over. Click into coasttocoastam.com, both for the very cool news that we post up every day. Also, some great video links, and there's one on there right now about that mysterious light. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go take a look online at coasttocoastam.com. And then the blog's got all the links that we talked about earlier. Where are you going to take us? We'll find out next. Open lines until Mark Lerner takes us into the future. What is the astrological arc for all of the major players on the world stage right now? Next on Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. Ripped up there from the last live chat I did. I did for George, gave George a night off, and I did the live chat about 2 weeks ago. And the transcript is up there. So if you were part of it and you want to read it, because it goes by so fast. If you've ever participated in one of those chats, you know, you're throwing stuff out there and you don't know what Lex is going to post up as a question. And it just, it's a good time. And it just always, it feels like we were talking about earlier, how time, the fluidity of time, how time can reverse itself too, that we think, scientists believe that in the world of physics, time doesn't always move forward. Something, of course, it's not that foreign a concept to us, but a lot of other people are trying to get their heads wrapped around it. Where's Jeff going to take us in Mendocino, California? It's open lines. Jeff?
Hi, Ian. This is Jeff, and I'm listening on KLH out of Reno, Nevada, 780 AM, home of Ross Mitchell, your announcer.
Oh, that's right. He's a great guy, too, by the way.
Yeah, he did a good job with Monica J this morning announcing the balloon flights. And I have another, the balloon flights in Reno, but I have another issue concerning aircraft.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, we had a commercial aircraft, four engines on it, flying maybe about 5,000 feet right up the coast this afternoon, about 10 till 4, turned inland over Mendocino, and was dumping jet fuel out of the wingtips. And I called the FAA in San Francisco, called the tower at Santa Rosa Airport, got nothing but recordings, which was really reassuring a week from the 7th anniversary of 9/11 coming up here. As far as Homeland Security.
Right.
And, You know, to see an aircraft dumping fuel and flying low that had that kind of capacity, it was either a commercial, possibly a military, but he was definitely in trouble and turning around to go land. They don't make 180s dumping fuel over the forest and going inland. Usually they'll do that out over the ocean. So
right.
There were several red flags on this, and I could get no word at all out of anybody. Somebody called the Coast Guard in Fort Bragg and left a report with them. They actually took a report, but they had no information. I was the first person to call on this issue to the Coast Guard. So much for homeland insecurity, huh?
Yeah. So they dumped fuel on, you said, a forest?
Well, they were flying right along the coastline going north-northwest, and they turned inland right over about the community of Mendocino. Inland, well, probably a couple of miles, and they're dumping fuel over the forest at maybe about 5,000 feet.
Well, that's what I meant, though. So, but it was over trees as opposed to over a desert area or something else.
Yeah, usually because that's going to the ocean, which isn't cool either. But, you know, the forest where people, you know, there's communities, there's people living in the area. And, of course, it doesn't make any sense. And it wasn't chemtrails. It was definitely out the wing.
Right.
And there were no contrails because it was too low and too warm today for there to be any contrails out of those jet engines.
No, I'm with you. No, here's my questions that come out of that are, I wonder whether it could have been something other than jet fuel. I wonder if it was something they were spraying intentionally on the trees. Right. I wonder if it was jet fuel and they were dumping it on trees, I would think that would act as a defoliant. I would imagine if you went back there in 5 days' time or so, it's going to look like, you know, my lawn after we'd be gone or something like that. That it's going to, you know, it would kill the trees that were hit by the jet fuel, or at least, you know, take off all their leaves and stuff. So that's worthy of following up, because I mean, you'll have something and you'll have a photograph, and I hope you send it along to us. I appreciate you putting it out there for open lines. We get to Sean in Columbus, Ohio, east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast AM. Sean?
Ian, it is a pleasure to talk to you. I have been wanting to get through and speak on this with you for some time now.
Well, what is the this?
I have a belief as to whom the Antichrist is and to exactly where Babylon, as in the Babylon in Revelation.
Sure. Well, what the first things first, who's the Antichrist?
I believe that Barack Obama is the Antichrist.
Okay.
And I base this on two things. I base this on, first, the description of the beast out of the sea from Revelation 13. The description of him, the beast being like a leopard, and this is not, please do not interpret this as with any racial connotation at all, but, you know, the leopard is spotted golden and brown, with golden, darker spots, when Barack Obama is half black and half white.
Okay.
Another curious thing, instead of constantly quoting scripture here, which I know is quite annoying, he said to a group of Israeli Americans that his name in Hebrew meant blessed. And there's a problem with that, and that is it does not. The only biblical Barak is not spelled in Hebrew as you would spell blessed. In Hebrew, you would spell blessed B-R-K. It's the Barak in Judges is B-R-Q, and it doesn't mean blessed.
Wait, just so you know, that's transliteration, right? You're assigning English letters to try to approximate Hebrew letters, and so that can change. That's why you'll see different spellings, for example, for Hanukkah, and you'll see different spellings for various Hebrew words, because all you're trying to do is approximate the pronunciation based on English letters.
No, sir. I got a Hebrew translation of the Old Testament, and is spelled in Hebrew, the Hebrew letters, Beit, Resh, Kaf, not Beit, Resh, Kaf, which is blessed. The name is...
Right. When you said BRQ, those are English letters, which is why I do that. All right, let me go back to your thing here about the beast, which I saw was like unto a leopard. I'm trying to put this in the context of Barack Obama. And his feet were as a bear, and his mouth was a mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him power. What about his feet like a bear? How do you see that?
One of two ways.
Yep.
He is taking a stand as a black man. You know, he is representing himself as, you know, a leader of black America, mostly. And
I never hear him say that. I've never heard him say that. Honestly, I've never heard him say that. But how does the feet like a bear relate to African Americans, though?
The stance that he is taking as the first African American to be president, his stand.
Well, we'll know soon enough. In fact, Mark Lerner, I'm sure we'll get to that coming up after the top of the hour. He's tracking the astrological charts of all of the candidates, and so we'll see where that takes us coming up in just a few minutes. Judy is in Texas on Coast to Coast AM. Judy?
Hey, nice to talk to you.
And to you?
I was just wondering, apparently Fox were the only media that were embedded with the police up in the, you know, when they had the convention. And all the other media representatives were arrested, including Amy Goodwin of Link TV.
No, she was the only media representative arrested.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, and there were no other. I mean, there was an AP photographer that went behind a police line.
Right.
The media. There were about 2,000 media here. She was the only one that got arrested. I've seen this email going around about how they're arresting all the journalists and the only ones they're allowing in are Fox. And I can tell you firsthand that's a total lie.
Well, thank you for setting me straight on that. Yeah. However, I do find it a little disconcerting that the this group called the Anarchists, basically interjected themselves in the situation.
Yep.
And I wouldn't be surprised by this being some sort of a ploy to diminish the credibility of the homeless people and the people that have been displaced by jobs that are going, you know, to China, and the fact that the economy might go the route of what you guys talked about on prisonplanet.com.
Well, I think that generally speaking, the protesters were well respected in town, and nobody had any issue with the peaceful protests at all. It was only so that part was the good. There's good news there, and I think the anarchists
But the anarchists seem to me to be sort of this clandestine group, and it just reminds me of sending in Blackwater to go ahead and fight our war for us. It doesn't make sense how, you know, this they could be even coming up with the idea of throwing feces and bricks and things like that. It just sounds so vile as some sort of a ploy to diminish the other group. But I appreciate your time, and I'll listen.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm not sure how the anarchists got invited and how much they were anticipated, and whether some of them just showed up and took advantage of the opportunity of all the cameras, or how organized it was. Although the implication was that they've been organizing for a long time. So there was one delegation from Connecticut that was actually assaulted getting off a bus, and they seemed to know the bus routes of some of the delegates. So I'm not sure whether they even brass had infiltrated some of the security, but I don't know that for sure. Deborah's in Milwaukee. Wildcard line on Coast to Coast AM. Deborah?
Good evening, Ian. Good evening. I just have some comments concerning the election. First of which, I was very fortunate during the winter months to see a PBS program which featured Governor Palin in a very favorable light, in that she was holding the feet to the fire of fellow Republicans who were involved in some very corrupt activities regarding the oil industry. And I thought, wow, here's a lady with some real moxie. And what I bring this up because it concerns me that oftentimes people seem to be satisfied with sound bites, conjecture, and really not looking at a person's track record. In the case of Mr. McCain, I have admired him since the mid-80s, and that he does have a strong track record of cutting and fighting pork barrel spending and reaching over to the other side and working with Democrats, and he's demonstrated that. And
Well, hold on a second. We will definitely track that coming up in just a minute. You're not going to want to miss that after the top of the hour. You're going to hear. We'll go into that with Mark Lerner, and we'll actually look at John McCain and Governor Palin's astrological chart, and we'll see how the two are even heading in the same direction, which is another interesting question. Are they? Are those two things commensurate? Are we going to see that they're one or the other both ends up in the same place, that being the White House, at least what the indicators are from Mark Lerner in a second. Sorry I'm moving along, but I've got about a half dozen people. I'm going to try and get in here quickly before the top of the hour. First-time caller line, Todd is in Iowa. Todd, where are you going to take us?
How are you doing, Ian?
Nice doing to well. You too.
Okay. My father had passed away in 1999, the day after Christmas. And by the time we got home, as soon as I walked in the door, I called my cousin in Indiana, and nobody had any knowledge of this whatsoever. And he answered the phone, and he said, Uncle Bill died. And I was, like, blown away. I said, well, yeah, he did. And to make a long story short, when the family from Indiana came to the wake, they brought this piece of paper that his wife, my cousin's wife, wrote bits and pieces of stuff that he was saying in his sleep that night. And it all, and a lot of the issues had, were related to situations that happened in Iowa that only my father had known. I just thought that was a little bit strange.
Yeah, it's very strange. So your uncle's voice was your father's voice while he was sleeping, and so he was saying things that only your dad would have known?
True. Correct.
It's almost like a kind of ghostly kind of possession. I don't know. It's interesting, Todd. Thanks. I don't think I've ever heard of that before. People sleep talking in somebody else's voice, that almost in a time when their own persona is lowered, in a dream state, that somebody else could jump in and take over their voice while they're sleeping. That's a really creepy thought. Very interesting, though. Sorry about your dad. Wildcard line, Dana is in Toronto. That may do it for open lines for this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Dana?
Hi, Ian. It's Dana.
Oh,
you
Dana.
Use Weed Be Gone? No way. I find that hard to believe.
I have used Weed Be Gone.
Oh, no. Shame.
And let
on
me tell you.
You
why. Let me tell you why. Because I had the organic weed people for
right.
about 2 years.
Yeah.
It was very expensive, and okay. they were very well-fed weeds.
So listen, as a Canadian, sorry to interrupt you there, but as a Canadian, if Obama's a Muslim, has anybody been saying McCain's a Manchurian candidate yet? Does that come up at all? I wonder.
It's happened when people have said that. In fact, there was sort
really?
Of a there was the whisper campaign for McCain back in 2000 that was orchestrated by what later became the White House group, and they started a whole thing, not about a Manchurian candidate in terms of like him being a killer, but they definitely pushed the idea that as a POW he can't be trusted, you never know what happened to him,
sure.
there's something wrong with him. Those are the same people now that he's holding hands with, which is, I think, very generous for John McCain to be doing that, because they totally torpedoed him in 2000.
But the main reason I called, I wanted to tell you quickly two things that really, if I can, get it in. There's a film I saw back in the 80s. I believe it was called Walking After Midnight. It's a film about reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
Ringo Starr has a little bit in it. Martin Sheen speaks about his near-death experience shooting Apocalypse Now. Katie Lang has a little say in it. A bunch of people I don't know. But the most intriguing one was a little girl in India, somewhere in India, who one day takes her mom and dad by the hand, walks them over a few villages away, goes to some supposed stranger's house, knocks on the door, they welcome them in. Turns out she's brought her new parents to the parents of her last life. They come in the house, she takes them into a room. Yes, this is my old sari, there's my guitar, da 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 da. This woman had been murdered in her prior life. Her husband, I believe he had been a doctor. He got away with it. He was committing adultery. He was a cheating rat.
I'm running out of time here, Dana, but
and
this
anyways,
is the movie.
They came back and they re-prosecuted the guy based on the child's testimony.
Well, that's very cool. And this Walking After Midnight's the name of the movie, you think. So I'll take a look at that, and thank you so much. Mark Lerner, in just a few minutes, what can we know from the stars about the future of this country, and what are they saying about the candidates and the crises next on Coast to Coast AM? This is Ian Punnett.